भक्ति शादी है क्या किसी की तेरे घर पे?
अभी तो कोई किसी की शादी नहीं है एंड मुझे तो लग रहा है इनफैक्ट आई एम फीलिंग कि आफ्टर वाचिंग दिस सिली शो ऑन नेटफ्लिक्स एवरीबॉडी इज गोइंग टू जस्ट रिफ्यूज टू गेट मैरिड दे हैव डिसाइडेड दिस इज इट
द एंथुसियाज्म विद व्हिच दे आर लुकिंग टू गेट मैरिड वो किधर से आता है आई मीन रियली डोंट नो
वी डोंट अंडरस्टैंड बिकॉज़ वी आर एक्सपीरियंस्ड ना रश्मि 20 साल शादी होने के बाद You know that getting married is maybe not the best plan in life.
Listen, pehle bhi I wouldn't be doing that, honestly.
Yeah, but I think, hopefully, and this is my deepest hope, is that that's all exaggerated somehow.
No, Bhakti, that's very real. That happens. There is this section of society where this
is
supposed to be reality, no? Sure.
Reality, but reality, you know, to different people is different things. People are getting married like that. Oh my God, I would just...
And there is matchmaking happening like that. Just like those fabulous lives have been laid out in front of us. Of those.
Another cringe fest which I haven't watched. But so many people have advised me to watch it.
Watch it?
This show. Oh yeah, yeah. So when somebody advises me now, mentally I'm just thinking, oh God, now I know what you're like. And it's sad and it's unfair because I'm sure they're doing this because there's so many people just lapping this up, which it works, right?
Of course, this is what sells, which is what amazes me. I mean, the content is so warped.
Have you seen the content, Rashmi?
I have seen a few episodes just because I wanted to do this here with you. You gave me this homework.
Yeah, because I watched 2 episodes of Indian Matchmaking and I spent my entire 2 hours with my jaw hitting the floor most of the time thinking, oh my God, is this really happening?
You have to see the lives, the fabulous lives. It just, I think it surpasses the, what is it, Kardashians?
Kardashians.
I don't even know how to pronounce
it. K-K-U-R or K-K-U-R. I don't know. K-K-U-R.
I think the are going to disown me if there's anyone here. I don't even know how to pronounce their name.
But it's like, it's as if you're like, that's the aspiration, you know?
But that must be, no?
What is the show called? The Lives of the Kardashians?
Possibly.
No. Daily Lives?
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know the gist of what we're getting at.
I mean, the number of Twitter followers that she has after all those things that she puts, I think that just speaks about people's involvement in their lives.
For her, it's business. And I totally understand that this is how her business sells.
Arebaba, but what is it for the people who watch? What is it that they're looking for? I really want to understand this.
After a long life that I have led, I've realized that you just can't get why certain people like certain things. Even though it seems illogical, insensible, and totally crappy in a way, that's just what
it does.
It's what they like. Okay. And finally, what can you do about what people like?
No, so my point is, just don't bring out the content which you think is going to sell.
Yeah, it seems sad in a way that the 2 reality shows that came out of India in these last miserable 9 months that we've had have been these 2 shows.
Exactly. Okay, we forget this. Let's go to the fabulous lives of our guests.
And 5th episode, Rashmi. Guys, we've reached the 5th episode of our first season.
Yes. And this time we have someone very interesting.
Danish Vazifdar, who is a lab technician par excellence.
And brings about this other aspect of dentistry which we actually quite easily forget. How an important role it plays in dentistry.
Huge role.
Yeah.
It's like the blanket over all our mistakes and God knows what else. So yes, let's get on with it.
Let's hear Danish Vazifdar. So, Pansko, Bulgaria, is a Bredent conference, and the gala night dinner, and we go down all apparently feeling the best dressed people in the entire place. You know how it is, the women. And then comes this absolutely suave, impeccably dressed gentleman. That is my memory, my first memory of Danish Vazifdar. And of course, he has no memory of this. He doesn't even remember meeting me.
I kind of remember now with the kind words.
I don't remember when I met Danish first. Means maybe during the AACD, fleetingly. and through Bradent mainly.
I think during the AACD when
we came here
to review the cases, the final approvals were through you. So.
Yeah, that is really kind. Okay. So the first thing we want to ask you, Danish, is how just lab work or being a lab technician began for you?
So it really is some time back. If I rewind, I can think maybe 1997. That's so it's almost 23 years now.
Yeah.
When the idea was actually born.
Okay.
As a lot of things in my life are influenced by the women in my life, this idea was influenced by my wife's family. They're all a family of dentists who have a great practice, and I think the thing that was missing. Element in their practice was a lab, and we were actually sitting for a casual dinner and they were discussing something about lab and they weren't
happy.
Not I wouldn't say happy, but
pleased.
They weren't they were not getting what
they needed yeah.
what they needed, and they were discussing on a dinner table conversation, and I was asking them what is this lab and what does a lab do. And that's practically how the idea was born. And from there, it's a really long, long story and long journey. So, 23
years. Began from there, but then starting a lab means obviously training into so many things. And I know that you, as the work that you do, get a lot of training every year, right? Go to meet people, learn a lot of different things, because that's how you evolve in your profession. So your basic training you did where?
So, Farzin and I, before we actually started the lab, we traveled a lot. We spent a lot of time in the US. Our family, Dr. Turner's brother, has a clinic in Canada, in Montreal. So, we were there also. So, we spent almost 2 to 3 years traveling and actually learning this profession of this aspect.
So she also took a break from dentistry at that time.
She also took a big break, and she really supported me at this point
nice
of time.
To know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The to-be wife had a stronger influence.
We are going to discuss more about Farzin.
Yeah.
But that's pretty interesting. Ideas starting at the dinner table and then actually taking shape and form and coming to this stage where today that has become your main interest and work.
Yeah, it's a long journey. A lot of things led to each other. There's been, there's not been a single year, I think, since that year that we've not really traveled abroad or continued to train ourselves on the latest techniques. I think what we've been able to do is always stay a little ahead by incorporating or reading a lot and keeping up to date. And this is thanks to my father-in-law, actually, who's, you know, really well-read in the subject in dentistry as whole,
and keeps reading,
and through this we've been able to grow year on year.
Plus, every year that I hear that you train, at some point it stops being just about doing better and better at your work. It's also about doing better for a passion of producing something that is more excellence every year. Is that what keeps you going? Because lab work as such is not something that there must be a lot of conflict, not only in terms of the people you work with, the people you employ, but also the dentists you work with.
Correct. It's a complex field in terms of when you talk in terms of lab work, because lab work is just one aspect of it, and then there is actually running the entire show or managing the lab work part of it.
Not only the work, the people, which means there are so many people who work for you.
Correct.
Doing a job that every time at some point requires some customization. So it requires dialogue, right?
Correct.
And that dialogue that you have with your staff, you also have to have with the dentist referring the work to you.
Correct, yeah.
And you have to transfer the knowledge that the dentist gave you to your staff. How do you achieve that?
So, yeah, it's a little actually complex process. So We have some very, very dedicated staff now. The staff usually understands the local language.
Which is
everything in Marathi. So a lot of them may not be as fluent in English. A lot of the notes that we get come in English. So we have two people who sit.
Are you fluent in Marathi, Danish?
My Marathi has greatly improved, and my I can proudly say I can hold my own now in a good. And, it's primarily because of my misunderstanding or my capability of not completely understanding the language. But there was this incident when we had a staff who came in and she was a little upset, and I noticed that, and I asked her as to why she was upset. And she told me that the word that I now know very well is, she used the word gutter sport. Of course, I only understood the word sport. And for me, that meant an explosion. And I was really worried. And I asked her, I said, oh my God, where did that happen? And what? And you know, even though she was a little sad, she got a smile on her face because she instantly realized I did not understand the word. And now I understood that it meant divorce. And and so I am constantly learning, and now my vocabulary is a lot stronger on this one.
But at any point in your vocabulary, gutter sport would not have been a word that you could have learned.
So it's looks like a pretty cool sport.
Wife, brother.
So
all
three of them.
And Dr. Turner's wife.
And Dr. Turner's wife.
Yes, they're all dentists. In fact, she was the head of department at Government Dental College in the Prostho department.
So being in between such accomplished people, how do you manage to hold your own and, you know, carve your own path, keep going, keep motivated, getting better and better at your craft and reaching where you have reached today? In short, what makes Danish tick?
It was a very hands-on job. Of course, there were a lot of difficult days in that process. But basically, the profession is constantly changing. Even as we sit here, there is so much change that is being slotted for the future. So you have to keep yourself continuously educated every year on the new processes, the new techniques, new machines that are available to really give the best for your patients.
And I always find that because I have a husband who's a prosthodontist and sends lab notes which are detailed in every aspect and every demand, I find that dentists as a profession or professionals are highly demanding. Okay, they may not do something right, maybe, but the work that comes back to them has to be absolutely checking every box. So has that, over the years, your response to that got molded in some way, or it is was always very accepting of this kind of a...
No, so what we have learned a lot from the clinicians. I've really been blessed to work with some great clinicians. And along my journey, I've realized that if there is a communication channel open, then both the clinician and the lab are learning from each other. And I've seen those practices really grow, where there is a clear understanding of the work that goes on clinically as well as what is happening in the lab. Usually, I don't see a lot of that, so usually the communication is very simple.
Because there has to be respect, right? On
yes.
both sides.
Yes.
Towards the work yeah. that is being done and towards the labor-intensive part of achieving a certain result.
Correct. So, a lot of the clinics that are... out there, it's difficult for them to really understand what happens in a laboratory, what goes on in a lab to actually create that single tooth, because there are so many facets to that creation, depending on the patient demand, the clinician demand, depending on the material choice. So there are a lot of factors that actually go into this. But what I've seen is the clinicians and the lab technicians that understand the opposite side. For example, the lab guy understands what the clinician is really going to do with that restoration, or the process that he's going to do to finally deliver that restoration. And when the clinician understands what are the possibilities that can actually happen in the lab depending on how he has set up the job,
case, yeah.
We've actually seen those practices grow. So I've really been blessed to work with a good set of clinicians.
So do you have these interactive sessions at your lab where the dentist can come and understand as to what's happening at your end, and you can understand as to what they really want from you? I mean, I would like to come and spend some time at your lab, Manish.
Yeah, so over the years, I think our channel of communication has really left this open. So we've had a lot of clinicians who come in and out. And I think for me, the biggest advantage is that I had my wife's clinic. So I could really see how that work that was created mattered to that patient. It wasn't just a model. And I think this has been a big advantage to us.
So going back to my previous question, how has your journey been, especially when surrounded by such accomplished people?
I don't think any journey is really smooth, but maybe in the initial years it was a little tough, and maybe there were moments when maybe both Farzin and I did think why we did this together, but I really have no complaints. I think it's been
complaints. Just
yeah. I think it's been good, and now we are at a stage where I think everyone really appreciates each one's role, and they're pretty well defined.
Defined.
So Danish, you have a predominantly female staff. So is that a conscious choice, or is that how things have just come about?
Genetically, I think women are definitely engineered to handle this far better. Also, a lot of the big labs that I saw in different parts of the world, they also had a staff that were definitely on the plus side with the female gender. And when I asked a lot of the owners or the people who were in charge, they had mentioned at that time that they had done some tests where they definitely found that this is a great profession where women can really thrive.
So your job is insanely pressure driven, in the sense that I'm sure there are deadlines that you have to meet. There are deadlines that many dentists must be imposing on you. And because this is so technologically driven now, there are times at which something might fail or something needs to be redone and stuff. So how do you, is a part of handling this pressure about family or what other stuff that really keeps you going? Coming back every day and thinking, no, this has to get done today.
Yeah. In the initial years, it was difficult. A lot of this pressure would translate maybe kind of back home. Over the years, we've gotten really organized and realized what we can really do within a single working day. Mm-hmm. And we've realized to be a lot stronger and be more upfront than rather just please everyone
I want you to talk a little bit about the fact that pleasing everyone is not really what drives a profession to excellence.
Yeah, when I say pleasing everyone, what I'm trying to say is there is a limit to what you can really do in a working day. And once you really understand this and you learn to manage your time and your resources and your processes, and your workflows in a particular way, you can optimize your day to get the best possible output. And this comes with a lot of experience.
Okay, Danish, we all have heard about this famous or infamous chemistry between the lab and the dentist. Let's hear a few stories about your interactions with us.
This is a few years back when veneers were just in. And there were these wonderful restorations that kind of just disappeared in the oral cavity. So At that time, we had a particular dentist was very, you know, he had got a brand new camera. He was very keen on photographing this work, and he needed me to be, you know, there in his clinic just in case there was some last minute adjustment. And he had bought this really fancy camera gear equipment. When I went in there, it was a beautiful lady. The patient was had a very, very beautiful personality, and you know, the veneers went off smoothly, the treatment went off smoothly, and then came the time for him to take his first photo with this new equipment. And if you've seen the typical dental camera equipment, it has a really heavy lens in front. It's a long lens when you're shooting with these macro equipment, plus there are two flashes loaded on top of that. And he was focusing, and somewhere I think he lost his focus and balance, and he landed up on top of the patient. And for me, that was you know, to witness that happening live, and you know, no, she was actually very, very polite, and actually had a sense of humor. And she, you know, just told the doctor, "Oh, doctor, I can give you my private number."
Okay, so Danish, how do you unwind yourself dealing with all these stressful dentists, the staff, the demands, aaj chahiye crown, kal finish ho jana chahiye?
So, I really don't take back anything home now, but I have...
That must be hard.
No, I have a few set protocols on that, so whatever has to be taken back home now, there's a list generated, so it can wait for me till next...
So, Farzin never asked you about a restoration on the dinner table?
Oh, all the time. With family, it's different. Family clinic work is different, and work is different. That doesn't really categorize in the... Usually at the club playing some sport. So a recent sport that we've been following up, initially it was squash, and now it's a lot of table tennis. With age, of course, the knees are a lot weaker. So it's a lot of table tennis, and then we have a little club where all our old school friends meet, and we play a game of soccer once a week.
So, which school did you go to, Danish?
A Campion.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. That's how that keeps me going, and basically meeting people.
What entertainment do you enjoy, like movies and Netflix? What do you like to watch?
Actually, what on my personal time, what I really like to do is read more about the new technologies that are out there, coordinate with people. Again, I've been blessed to have now a really strong international network. This is basically on my time, and otherwise, it's basically watching movies or...
Are there any genre of movies that you really like?
I like movies that are really stupid and silly and nothing too serious. I like the movie industry because it's there to actually entertain you and take your mind off things.
I agree.
So the sillier and the more stupid, the
less
movie.
Less
realistic. I think I kind of like that kind of humor.
Okay, Danish, so I believe we've come a long way from where we started in India as lab technicians to the technologies and the information available today all around the globe, right?
If you look at a few years back, even some of the things that we were, it was a very skilled profession where everything was kind of handmade. And today you have 3D printers, you have milling machines that can really take away a lot of that... a lot of the pressure of creating something accurately.
So are we at par to the international standards of labs around the world?
I think India is probably ahead. Okay. I would proudly say that. I think we have great labs, we have great technicians. My only sore point is I think they are not given enough recognition in the field of work that they do. But I think that our country is really blessed with skilled people. I've seen a lot of places, and it amazes me that the kind of work that they can really create. But coming back, technology has really changed the way we work today. So it's really important for both the clinic as well as the lab to kind of slowly embrace this change. And what technology has done is that you really don't have to invest a lot in one go. You could do it in bits and parts and ramp up your practice or the lab to function with these digital technologies. Also, the technologies have gone hand in hand with the conventional techniques, so that's good as a backup plan today.
So the perception of lab technicians is really changing in today's times, obviously. And do you think this change is catching up fast enough where we work? And also, whom would you regard as your initial or even now the people or dentists who have influenced you to pursue excellence in your work?
I would like to say it's changing. It's changing. It's really changing. And in my personal experience, like I said, I'm lucky that I have a great doctor, Dr. Xerxes Umrigar, who really set a lot of the basis of the prosthodontic work that our lab creates today. He has called me in personally many times, and we've had a lot of great discussions regarding techniques and how things flow. Of course, my family, Dr. Porus Turner, who's also been a great influence in every field of it, in understanding every, he's so well read on the subject that for us it's our backbone, really. That
no, he's very inspiring.
Yeah. And then along the way I met Dr. Ali Tunkiwala. It was just a chance meeting. I think we landed up at some dental company office together.
Okay.
And he is also very inspired just to create good works. All these people are constantly interacting with us. So it's very interactive work. Everyone understands each side, and that has helped us greatly. And when it really has come to the digital front, at that time I was lucky enough to meet Dr. Burzan Khan.
Yeah.
With whom we've really made big progress. I would say even on an international field, we have really made big progress in terms of actual digital dentistry.
Do you enjoy teaching? Because I know you do quite a bit of it now since the last 2 years.
I enjoy kind of giving back in whatever way and whenever it's called upon.
So brilliant technician. Also someone who's imparting all his knowledge around. Let me tell you folks, whoever is listening, Danish Mazumdar is also a great host. I had the best cheese and the best food while doing this interview.
Wonderful accompaniments to our interview.
Ali just came along with us to have this.
Yes, Dr. Ali Tunkiwala accompanied us for the interview as a bolster. For Danish's confidence in us, and also because he could partake with all the stuff which is on the table.
Lovely, yeah. So thank you so much, Danish, once again.
And
yeah, Danish, can we have a part two? Because I want to come back to eat all that huge spread that was laid down for R&B. Nobody's pampered R&B like this ever, okay? So Danish, you're the best. I forgive you for not recognizing and remembering me in that conference.
What did you think, Danish, about our podcast?
No, thank you, Rashmi and Bhakti. And I really look forward to your R&B channel on the podcast. And I'm looking forward to hear what the other people you've interviewed also have spoken. And I will stay tuned onto this.
Absolutely our pleasure, Danish. Can't wait to have the second round of the food and, of course, the interesting talks. People who've enjoyed this episode, please connect with us, to get in touch with us, write to us on Instagram, Facebook. We're available on every platform where you can hear this podcast, including Apple and Spotify. Thank you and see you soon. Happy podcasting.